excited for what the Lord is going to do. We are privileged today to have some friends with us. I don't believe in coincidences. I think the Bible says time and chance happen, so there's just some things that happen, but there are certain things that you just have a really strong impression that it's God ordained. And a little over a year ago, my wife came home from the Y, and she said, "I met the most remarkable person." And she began to tell me the story of how they met and conversations that they had. And since then, they've had several other conversations, and I said, "Well, I need to meet her." And so that was the beginning of me meeting Ashley. And so she came to my office, and my wife and I met. Hello. It's good to be back with you. And so we had this conversation, and I must admit I was conflicted. As with many times we are, and sometimes in the presence of God, you feel this sense of, have you ever been in the presence of God and you just feel so awesome and so small all at the same time? You feel awesome that you're privileged enough to be in his presence, but then you see how good he is and how great he is, and then why me? Well, I felt something similar because I was listening to Ashley and telling me about her life and her testimony and what she's currently doing for the Lord, and I felt that privilege, and at the same time I felt small and insignificant being in the presence of somebody that I felt like was so great that I felt small. The bottom line is, don't let any of this fool you. Get all nice and dressed up for Sunday, and Sean even complimented me today. I picked this out myself, and that's why I just drank it in, because I just stood there and just said, "Thank you, Sean. I picked this out myself." And so, I mean, I didn't have to match much, but church, we know we're all. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, we're where we are today. Ashley was sharing her testimony with us tonight, and I felt that sense of feeling small and like I was in the presence of somebody that's great and doing something great. And it's much like the feeling I had a while back. You know, I'm pastoring two churches. I do some chaplaincy work. And some people say, "Man, how do you do it?" And then I get into the presence of somebody that's a missionary. We had a single young lady missionary here a while back that she's responsible for a country or two and trying to pastor several churches. And all of a sudden, pastor two churches and a chaplain. Let me just go over here and sit down. I'm not doing anything. Kind of how I felt when I was talking to Ashley. The other layer to that is she began to talk about something that she probably didn't know I had any familiarity with, and she started talking about Sullivan and Haig and Broad Street, and she really got my attention. So she didn't know I'm from the West Side. She found out quickly. And so here I am in Mayberry. And so she's talking to me about the West Side, and I grew up on Sullivan Terrace. And so when she's telling me her story and telling me about her burden, and she still comes up here frequently and does work up here. And so Again, that feeling of smallness and insignificance because she's doing such a great work up here and the people that she's with are doing such a great work. And I'm telling you that this is a building, but this is not the church. This is the church, and the church has to take this out there. And so they're going to share with us today. I'm just delighted that they were able to make it here with us. And so after meeting Emily, then we had a chance to meet Jenny and Delbert. He had stepped out for just a moment. And then getting a chance to meet Emily as well. And so we had a privilege to meet her mom and dad today. We took them out for a very nice dinner afterwards to Wendy's. And then jumped in our cars, and it was like NASCAR getting up here. So I don't know how you all did, but, you know, we were gone. So I'm sure you kind of was going through traffic kind of like we were because you didn't get here much past us. So I'm not saying we were exceeding any legal limits or anything. I'm not saying we didn't, but I'm not saying we did. But it is a privilege and an honor to come, to have them come with and be with us today and share their testimony and their burden for what they're doing. And so they're going to show a video first, and then they're going to come up. And I think we're going to do it the same order, Jenny, you coming up first, and then Ashley or Emily, and then Ashley will follow that. So let's, before we start the film, can we just thank them for being with us today and give them a hand? And you can roll that.
Women, especially, they grow best in a home environment, in the safety and the nurture of a home environment where they're surrounded by family, that they're led by parents, covered by parents, and just get to watch them like grow spiritually, grow in every aspect, emotionally, relationally, financially, and we just watch the Lord do it.
One of the biggest things that we do in the evenings is we all sit around the table and we sit there and we have community, and that's not something that has happened for me since I was a little girl. Even when I was raising my own kids, we never sat around the table at dinner time.
Since I've been here, it's been amazing. It's been a big eye-opener to community. I got my daughter back August 10th, and it's been challenging but rewarding, and being around other women that are mothers have been like really, it's been inspirational, but also having those hard talks like this is, you know, you should probably do this instead of that has taught me how to be a mom because I have never, ever been a mom.
They become your family. So it's not just they go through a program or a ministry for thus amount of months or whatever, but it's at that point that they realize that we're in this for the long haul. You know, we're not in this for a short-term thing. It's for the long haul. We're here for you for as long as you need us, and they become family.
I've been through multiple rehabs, a lot actually. This one, it brings love in. It brings like the community. The community piece is what I think a lot of people are missing, and a lot of other programs or like rehabs are missing. The fact that the girls helped me get Kai on the bus brings a family feeling. And just the fact like we have game night, family game night, we have praise and worship with the school. And just like we do things together, like we ride to church together, we ride home together, we cook together, you know, like it's been a real blessing to see what a godly family looks like versus what I've always been taught.
I was 35 when I tried hard drugs for the first time, and then I spent from the age of 35 to 50 chasing after that high, chasing after my ex-husband. I mean, I had to come here to realize that it had just how unhealthy it was.
I think for the last how many ever years, I have this conviction in my heart that there's really no woman out there that wants to keep living the way they are. Many of them know, like, yeah, there's this place. But so many of them in their mind, whether I encounter it when I'm in the jail or whether I encounter it with them, in their mind, this is for those out there. But I'm different because all their life they've showed up on this side. And we want the funding to be able to have women out there that says, I know you think this, but I'm going to walk with you until you start believing that this is for you and that what God's done for so many others, He'll do it for you.
For years, I tried to do things on my own, and each time I would mess up. The Lord is here. The Lord walks you through a lot of stuff, but you also have like the accountability of your sisters and Delbert and Jenny, and just being able to be around everybody and not be by yourself is one of the biggest things for me.
Paul said, man, I was bound. Things I knew I shouldn't do, I was doing. And things I knew I should do, I couldn't do it. And I love to be able to tell them, because that describes many times when we're bound in bondage. That's us. They don't want to do it again, you know? And I love to be able to help them understand, because you ask them the question, do you want to quit? And you ask them the question, how many times have families, moms, dads, kids begged them to stop? And inside they're screaming, if I could, I would. It's not their desire to disappoint another person. It's not their desire to be bound. But Paul knew the same struggle. But Paul found that, being in Romans 7, Paul found that when I found Christ, he said, who can deliver me from this? But Christ said that thanks be to God that gives me this victory. And I just want him to know that's for them. That's for them. Paul said that, wrote that. Christ delivered that for every one of them, for each of them.
Amen. Well, good afternoon, church. That was us 4 years ago, and largely that's us still today, just maybe on a slightly larger scale. And I still believe what we recorded there, that there it really isn't any woman's heart's desire to stay living like that. But there are so many of them still out there. They're in jails, they're on the streets, they're on Sullivan, they're in homes, they're in a trap house in southern Ohio. They just don't know that it's possible for them to have a whole new life through Jesus Christ. And today, we've come to share with you because that's still our heart. Ashley's going to share some of what we do in order to reach those women, and then what we do to find to have a place where they can come, where that kind of transformation can take place. Because that kind of transformation is the combination of being born again of the Spirit of God and filled with His Spirit, but being discipled in how to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And you heard it in there, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about how, but I want you to know that what we've come to find, and we believe is biblical, is those women learn that best in the safety of a home and of a family. And so today, I'm here, and I want to just take a few minutes kind of to share how we got here. We didn't just create this in our mind. We weren't born to doing this. I feel like sometimes I was born to do this, but I wasn't born doing this. But so I want to share a little bit of the backstory, and then we're going to have a testimony by Emily, and then Ashley's going to share a little more in depth about what we do. But I'm sorry, should I introduce myself? My name is Jenny. My husband and Delbert and I are the founders. Delbert, if you'll stand. We're the founders. We're the founders of The Covering. And I want to share a little bit about how we got there. The Lord saved my husband and I both as teenagers. And both of us kind of got saved out of a lot of dysfunction. We were both part of a Spirit-filled, God-loving, Jesus-centered church, thank God. We were part of a tight-knit youth group that really did have a heart to serve the Lord. And out of that, we, in our early 20s, we married. The church continued to be a very big part of our life. This is what we did on Sundays. We worked in the church. That's just who we were. What we did not know at that point, or could not recognize or put words to, is that God had certainly brought us out of Egypt. He had brought us out of Egypt. He had saved us. He'd picked us up. But there was still a lot of Egypt in us. And so 10 years and two children into our marriage, we fell apart. We personally fell apart. Our marriage fell apart. Our home fell apart. Everything we thought we knew wasn't stable anymore. And so we as good church folk continued to fight that battle. 5 years fighting on and off the pews, trying to get through it. And at the end of that, both of us had almost resigned to, this isn't just going to work. And the Lord, and I say this, and I just emphasize it, the Lord in his mercy, that's not just a biblical saying to me. I understand mercy is God's strength, is his kindness in the middle of our sinfulness. And God, in his mercy and through our pastor, led us to a ministry called Pure Life Ministries. And our lives were transformed during that time at that ministry. We were individually transformed, and therefore our marriage was transformed, and our home was transformed. We have two biological children that will tell you there was a change point in our home because the Lord had become Lord of all. And I tell people this, that for those 5 years, I sought the Lord. Lord, can you just fix this so we can go on doing what we were doing? And I felt like he just didn't hear. I couldn't understand. And the whole time, he was wanting to bring us to a point where it wasn't about him just fixing us. Because God doesn't waste any of our pain or any of our struggles. There was a purpose through it. And so after that transformation, we came out with this conviction. And I know all of us church people know this. But when we left this period of our life, we knew it. And we knew that God was mighty and he was merciful and he was so loving that there was nothing too hard for him. And there was no one too far gone and there was no marriage too far gone. And we began to understand as he'd walk us through this how important family was in this. And so as we kind of finished our time with Pure Life, we began to share our story in churches, in small groups, in recoveries, anywhere that they would listen. Personally, we shared the story because we didn't realize God could do anything like this. Well, one of those places that I was sharing at was at a local teen challenge, and that's a faith-based recovery center for women. And so I volunteered and then went on to work there. And I went there sharing the power of that mercy of God. So those women, even though our struggle had been different, I believed fully that God was still able to do that for them. And we could see the women receive from that. But while I was there, it was that kind of place that God began to show Delbert and I and how important family was. And there we met a young woman, and I use this. One, I want you to know that Emily's going to come up and share her testimony. She's not a one-hit wonder. She's a wonder to us, and she's a one-hitter sometimes. She's not a one. God is doing these things. And so while I was at Teen Challenge, we met a young lady named Christy. When we met her, she was 26 years old. And by that time, she had already been addicted to drugs for 12 years. She had already had two failed marriages. She had already lost custody of both of her children. She'd been beaten. She'd been left in ditches. She'd lived in the trap houses. She'd done all of that. But there came a point where she knew she needed help. And I met her in that recovery center. And I know that she had truly been born again. She had been born again. The power of that darkness that had bound her once had loosed her, and she had this eagerness to be discipled. Regardless if God ever did anything about all her loss, she knew she needed Jesus. And so we watched her. She just grew and grew, and after 18 months there, it was her time to move on. And this is something you'd hear us say a dozen times. What do you do then? Because we would tell them the same thing. Don't go back to where you came from. And yet, many people will say, well, there's drugs everywhere. There is, but your drug people aren't everywhere. But she couldn't go back to where she'd came from. The vast majority of her family was still active in that lifestyle. Her father taught her how to make meth. And so by this point, she kind of knit our hearts mine and our family, just our hearts were knit with her. And so we did what was just right in front of us, was, but our family was able to bring her in and do just what a family does. We helped her to find a job. We helped her to secure a car. We helped her to secure a place to live, the very first time she'd ever lived alone. And then we just become a place to be and people to be with. I don't know that. I think this is where God was teaching us about the family. We don't think about that, but where do you go on holidays? Have you ever been stuck home with just you on a holiday? Right? And so we just became that place and those people. But what we began to see is what the impact that it had on her life. Because we watched her. She got the job. She got the vehicle. The Lord restored full custody back to those two children. She then went on to purchase her own home. She began to serve in the church with us, serve on the worship team, serve in teaching. And just as an update, as I tie this in, she purchased her own home, but some years after that, God would bring a man of God in her life. And about 5 years ago, I watched as my husband walked her down the aisle to marry that man. She now has. She now has two more children. And the Lord has just moved in such a way that those two children that were in the middle of all those custody things, one of them is a fine young man, has a job, is studying to become an electrician, does the groundkeeping work for our ministry, and is actively pursuing one of our young ladies to marry. The daughter that was involved, she is in Summit, which is an international school of ministry. God redeems lives. And Christy now is our residential director for this ministry. But what it taught us, and why I bring that out, is it taught us the long-term effects of putting these ladies in a family. We're not looking for somebody to be clean for a year or two. We're looking for somebody to be free for a lifetime. Free living disciples reproduce. And we've seen that in her life. What we realized at that point was the importance of a family. And again, I'm going to say it because I want you, when I leave, I don't care if you remember my name, but remember, we believe biblically women and children grow best in the context of a home and a family. And so with that, it just birthed it in our heart. So if we had an empty bedroom, we filled it with the next woman. And it just began to snowball. And then we had two or three women to every bedroom. And Ashley's son, when he was young, looked at my husband at the worst point where we're like, we've got to do something, and said, like, it's not legal to live like this. But it was that burden. And so we began to look for a bigger home and put together a team of people that had experienced this kind of redeeming power. And the Lord just began to work. In 2021, we were able to locate a 13-bedroom home right outside of Circleville. My husband knew immediately it was the one. And I have a lot of dots in my thing, because the rest of us, it took a long time. So thank God for godly men that pushed through. 10 of us women say, no, we're not living there. To him cast a vision, and that become what we know as the big house. We're taking back the big house. And so without any of the necessary resources, we began to just take the next step and do the next thing in front of us. And God proved himself time and time again. And in July of 2021, we moved, I think in the initial move, we moved like 9 people into that big house. Now, since then, since July of 2021, we've had the opportunity to provide a home for more than 50 women and 9 children. Some of those women may have stayed a week, and many of them have stayed for what is years. But we know that even if we have them a week, they'll be touched by the love of Jesus, and they'll never forget it. So even if they find themselves somewhere where we can't imagine, we only pray that God go with them and that that word and the love of Jesus will visit them where they're at. Now, I want, as Emily's going to get ready to come, I want to share just a few things. We're currently, right now, we're currently serving women as old as 63 and women as young as 19. Those are the age range of those that are currently with us. We have a woman that had a 35-year crack cocaine addiction on the east side of Columbus. She'd given birth to six children, six boys, never raised any of them, never learned to drive, never learned to read, never learned to hold down a job. You know what all that life entailed, and she was all of that. Several prison numbers, been in the pike more than she can number. And the Lord pulled her out of that. And today, I just share this part. Not too long ago, we were on a Tuesday night worship service, and I sat on that side, and she was sitting on that side. And I looked over as we were singing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And with her hand raised, she was singing with all her might, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." She has been 4 years clean. The Lord has restored her youngest son to her. She now drives and she now reads the Bible and she prays out loud. We had an 18-year-old that was sleeping in the stairwell of a hotel in Circleville. Ashley got a call from a cop, "Will you give her a safe place to sleep tonight?" She was 18 years old. She's just a kid. We brought her in, and that was, I think, 24 months ago, and she is still with us. But now she is working at Hope Valley. She is in culinary school, and she is growing closer to Jesus every day. And so the Lord does, he just changes lives. He really does. And so that's our heart. And Emily's going to come and just share a testimony. I'll share real quick. You can see that's the difference. That's the difference in just a little over a year. I have to tell the story real quick, and I'll let her share a testimony. I'm the most long-winded, so don't get tired. I'm the most long-winded. But Emily, it's a miracle that she got here. One Monday evening, I was on my way home from the Franklin County Jail back to Circleville. It had been an exceptionally good jail. We go there each week, and they were just real receptive and just pulling from you. And you're like, "Man, you're just making a difference." So I get in the car. I'm very happy with myself. I was like, "This is great." And I'm traveling down the road, and I get a call from Ashley. I should have known by the tone of her voice. She's never that excited for me. She said, "Hi, how are you?" You know, and nicely. She said, "How was jail?" And I was excited to tell her. And she kind of cut me off. And she was like, "Well, I have a situation." And then my bubble was popped. One, she didn't care about how jail went, by the way. And she said, "Well, someone called, and they've been calling me, and we've been talking, and it's 9 o'clock at night." And she said, "There was a girl, and like she's just a sweet little girl, sweet young lady, and I told her if she could be here at the big house in 15 minutes, we'd take her." I'm like, "Take her? Like, take her in?" Like, and she said, yeah, she's really, really sweet, she said. And I was like, "Oh, really?" And I said, "So where are we taking her from? Where's she coming from?" And this sweet little girl. And she said, "Jail." I was like, "Oh." I said, "And so you want to bring her and you're going to plan to keep her at our house, the one that has women and the one that has children and that we don't have any security and safety?" And she said, yeah, that one. And I said, and I'm always a thinker. She's used to this. And I said, "Okay, well, I need to get off the phone for a minute, but I'll call you back." And she said, "Well, don't wait too long," because she's like waiting. I was like, "Okay." And so I hung up, and I was like, you know, this is not how we do things, you know. And so I called her back, and she said, "So did you take time to pray?" And I said, "Well, let's be clear. You've just stressed me clear out, and all I did was eat this pecan pie beside me." But ultimately, Ashley won, and I come home to Emily sitting down in our lounge. And what a blessing. Thank God that Ashley's yes sometimes overrides my common sense, because Emily, the Lord has done just a great work. So I'll let her share now.
Well, Well, hello, everyone. As you know, my name is Emily. I'm 19 years old. I'm from Pickerington, Ohio, a nice suburb outside of Columbus. And I've been with the Covering for over a year now. I come from a blended family. My parents each had a daughter before coming together and having my younger sister and I. I was raised in a household of mental health issues, which led to a life of deep fear and violence. I became disrespectful, manipulative, and really just insensitive, and my way of coping through my problems was self-harm, substances, and bad relationships with men. I was a person that was hard to be around, very angry and riddled with anxiety, and I would lash out and really scare a lot of people whom I loved. I spent most, if not all, of my early teenage years in juvenile detention and many mental health facilities. I believe my family would have described me as a lost cause. I know I did. I had dropped out of high school, I was jobless for months on end, and I was not trusted whatsoever to get my driver's license. April 27th of 24, I turned 18, and not even 2 weeks later, I was arrested again, looking at many charges to stain my new record with. I was very hopeless, but God had a different plan for me. I did have a church background growing up. I was even baptized, and during this time in jail, I cried out to God a lot, only feeling like he wasn't listening to me. And when I got to make my phone call, it was a very, very hard phone call home. I thought to myself, I really messed up for sure this time. Another lady that I was in jail with heard my phone call home, and she walked up to me, gave me a hug, and prayed for me. Despite the fact that she had been in jail for a while and still had more time to go, there was something different about her. She told me that she had found peace in her situation with God. And she gave me a Bible and the Our Daily Bread booklet to read. So that night, I stayed up praying, reading, and even thanking God for that interaction. The next day, I was to be moved to general population. And the last thing I remember that lady telling me was to look for a woman called Allie. She would help me get settled in. So the moment I walked on to Gen Pop, a group of women started helping me, and I asked them if any of them knew of this lady. Surprisingly, one of those women helping me was her. She would later be my ride to the Covering. So, May 13th on a Monday, I was released from jail on the condition that I could not return back to my parents' house, the only home I had ever known. So, when I went back to the unit to grab my things, I panicked. I didn't want to become homeless. I told the other women that were going to be released that day with me that I'd rather stay in jail. I at least had a bed and food there. Well, they decided to help me out, walk me down to the probation's office to get my paperwork, and drive me around calling different homeless shelters to find me a place to stay that night. Well, no beds were opened. Referral call after referral call. I was starting to become very hopeless, but then I got connected with Ashley, our outreach director at the Covering. She told me that they were a faith-based program and gave me the rundown of how things are done there. I quickly agreed because not only was it getting late, and this seemed like my only hope, the need of God in my life became way too important to ignore. So Ashley said if I could get to their big house within 15 minutes, they'll take me. By God's great mercy, I was exactly 15 minutes away. Crazy to say that was a year ago. Well, during my time there, I've grown in more ways than just one. God has been restoring my relationship with my parents and my three sisters. It's a privilege to hear my mom and dad say that they're proud of me. And my three sisters excited to come and see me. I've come to know of the great love that God has had for me, then in my mess, and now. He showed favor on me at court and made a way for all my charges to be dropped. I'm working towards getting my GED. I'm two tests away from getting my GED. And I got my driver's license, and I'm looking forward to buying a car here soon. The Lord has been very good to me, and I did not deserve it. I became hungry for this love of God, for this growth, this mercy that he has shown on me. So I decided to become a part of the ministry and give back to the women behind me. I asked if I can come on to be their house lead or house mom in the residential home. So I kept a job for about 10 months at a factory, and when the time was right, I put in my 2 weeks, and I became the house leader, giving back to those women behind me, serving them and loving them, teaching them what God has shown me. Honestly, what I'm doing can be a pretty tough thing, but the Lord equips me. And I found it's a beautiful thing to get to watch the types of miracles that were performed in my own life and these women behind me, and then some. I found peace in my hardships, learning to just accept, especially the consequences of life, joy in having family, getting to experience the blessings and just pure fun with the ladies at the covering, and courage, leading women, sharing my testimony. I'm a pretty shy speaker, so this is could be a lot for me. And coming to the end of myself, facing the mistakes I've made. A verse I hung on to in my times of struggle is Psalm 71, verses 20 through 21, where the psalmist declares the promise that God has given all of us, that though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. And from the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. May God bless you.
Good job, Emily. Thank God she made it, because I was probably going to lose my job that day. My name is Ashley. I'm the outreach director. What a privilege it is to be here. We get a bonus Sunday, and we get to speak at two churches. So this is awesome. We are so grateful. My role here at the covering is I get to do all of the screening and the intakes for the women that come in. I get an incredible opportunity to hear every woman's story before they arrive. And along with all outside connections, I connect with as many people as I can. It doesn't matter where you are. But my goal is to connect with churches, businesses, agencies. Getting out and getting connected with the detoxes and other programs are especially important, because I have found in my, just in the world, but in my own personal experience, that there aren't many faith-based programs around. It's almost becoming unheard of. This has been a dream of mine, to do outreach and to get out and to share about the Lord and to tell as many women as I can that he is still doing miracles, because the Lord pulled me out. 7 years ago, April 2nd, 2018, he pulled me off the streets of Columbus, literally. And I take credit to my praying grandmother. She's here in this second service. She did not give up on me. Grandma, will you raise your hand? Will you raise your hand, Grandma? I'll tell you, she was pretty persistent. She prayed and she prayed, and I'm so grateful. I only went into the program, I'll be very honest, in 2018. I only went in because I was tired and my body had just gave out on me. My body wouldn't live the lifestyle that I was living anymore. I started using drugs at the age of 12, and that led into 20 years of drug addiction, along with many other addictions in between. It's a vicious cycle that brings in a lot of darkness. 6 months into that program, he delivered me from that lifestyle. Nobody can tell me any different. I remember where I was sitting in the house, and the Lord took care of it all at once. Yep. And then later on, shortly after that, he told me what it looked like to surrender. He taught me that. It was a process. You know, Jenny, she kept praying over me, and I remember going to the altar and really seeking the Lord, and I kept hearing Jenny say, just, Lord, help her to surrender. And I remember thinking, they are crazy. I have surrendered. I've given it all. I've given it all up. And the Lord had to come down and show me through a situation with my son really what it looked like to give my life to him. And I remember through that situation, I asked the Lord with my heart, a quiet prayer. I said, God, I want you to use my life. And he has been faithful over 7 years to this day to do that. And then shortly after that, he filled me with purpose. I watched God transform the women around me and then later watched the Lord transform my own son. When God called me to the covering, it was a huge step of faith. I did not have the faith that Delbert had. With a lot of challenging moments, I knew that would be ahead. And many days to myself, still today, saying, God, I know nothing. You know everything. Lord, help me. That's a prayer I continuously say. I believe the Lord hears that. I am so grateful that God knows what's best for my life. And almost after 5 years, I know that I am right where he wants me, and I wouldn't go and do anything else. Literally, there's nowhere else to go, and there's nothing else to do but to stay in the hand of the Lord and the will of God and continue to make disciples. You know, the last call in the Gospels is Jesus. One of the last words he says is to go out in the world and to make disciples of all nations. So I'm going to stay here for as long as he'll let me. So let's get into some transactional things. I want to bring you into kind of the day-to-day and a little bit more of the grip of kind of what we do. The covering operates out of 3 homes. We currently serve 12 women and 6 children. God continues to grow the ministry as we just purchased another home. We take women that are struggling with anything. We thought coming out to Circleville that our expertise would be serving women coming out of addiction. Well, God knocked that barrier down very quickly. We serve all women. It doesn't matter what the challenge is, and that is something that sets us apart from a lot of other places. There's no box that they have to fit in order to be accepted. It's simple. If you are struggling and you're open to learning about the Lord, we will begin our intake process. Our women have struggled with everything, addiction, homelessness, domestic violence, you name it, they've done it. We offer a 12-month residential program. That's the core of the discipleship. Like Jenny had said, in a family setting with the focus on biblical counseling and discipleship, which is another couple things that automatically set us apart from other places. After they complete the 12-month residential, they can then have their children come and join them in the transitional program where we begin at the big house to really teach them how to be a family. It's completely free to come into the program. Once they begin working, a portion of their check will go to the program fees. We are partnered currently with 2 employers that employ the ladies. Those employers provide a good establishment and atmosphere for each lady. During the entire process, this is important, we provide everything that they need. They no longer have to worry about how they're going to be clothed, fed, none of that. None of that's a problem. That's important that we're able to do that because we solely want their focus to be on building a relationship with Jesus Christ, which after the covering, that'll be the only thing that sustains them for life. So the need is so great. And the statistics speak to that. The U.S. statistics say that 300,000 women are currently homeless. 20.7 million women are currently struggling with substance abuse. And 190,000 women are incarcerated. Now let's go to just the Ohio statistics. 1,074 women are currently homeless in Columbus, and you guys are in the heart of it. I don't know if you're around here or where you live, but I believe there are a lot more than that. There are 11.1 of those women that age from the ranges of 18 to 49 that are currently struggling with substance abuse. 3,570 women are incarcerated. So if you're here today and you find yourself thinking, how can you help? As I've been doing this, I really believe in my heart that there is a place for everybody to walk alongside us at the covering and to find something to do here. The reason that we're here today is twofold. We're here to bring awareness, and we're here to invite you into the ministry. The most important thing in my heart is to bring awareness. There are a lot of women out there. We started a ministry years ago when I finished the program that I had went through. We started to walk on Sullivan Avenue, and I took a friend with me later to just kind of bring her into being able to experience this, and she said, hey, do you know what you say every time you meet a girl? And I said, no, not really. I'm not thinking about that. She said, you say to them, hey, if you want to get out, give us a call. And that's really trying to meet them where they're at. We don't have a whole lot of time with them, but where they're at, they need to know that if they want to get out, that they can. And so we took that slogan and we put it on a business card. Hey, if you want to get out, give us a call. And so we have those cards out at the outreach table, and I encourage all of you to keep them, put them in your car, and give them to any women that you see struggling. If we're not a fit and they call us, we will find a place for them. A lot of times, they first need to go into a detox. So that's kind of what we try to assess firsthand. The second fold is for you to partner with us. There's many opportunities to volunteer. We've got a list out at the outreach table that you can stop and pick that up. Also, prayer. We need prayer. Our staff needs prayer. Most importantly, when these women come in off the street, I can tell you that they're not just fighting to stay alive, literally. The spiritual battle that they're fighting is so dark and so great, they need your prayers. So please pray for us. The giving part, I get this question asked a lot. A lot of people say, well, what's your biggest need? Well, right now, our current biggest need is monthly donorship. And that's because our operating costs are $30,000 a month. And we have two streams of revenue that fund that. We have our program costs that fit 40% of that. And then we have the donations, the one-time givers, the monthly donors, the businesses, the events. They contribute to 60% of that $30,000. Operating cost a month. So, that's about it. If you are in the Circleville area next week, we are having an open house. If you want to lay eyes on what God is doing, we want to invite you to come out to the 13-bedroom. Come inside, meet the women, meet the kids, and really get an eye on what God is doing at the Covering. We've got an open house next week. Everybody is invited to that. Thank you, church. My heart, truly, after service, is to connect with each and every one of you before you leave. God does real miracles because me and Sister Jane had this connection originally made in the sauna at the YMCA. So here we are today. Thank you, Pastor, for having us, and thank you, Sister.
You can understand why I was a little overwhelmed is a good way of putting it when we met Ashley. Again, also having such a heavy influence here. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God is about being undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from this world. If you look in the book of James, there's several references that it talks about not being hearers of the word. We just spent a whole series for the whole quarter of the year. We spent 3 months talking about going back to basics. We talked about the difference between what we would call cultural Christianity and discipleship and being a disciple as opposed to just a Christian. And not a true Christian. I'm not talking about being Christ-like. I'm talking about just kind of our cultural Christianity. The Bible talks about also in James, if you look through it, it's laced with those things about being doers of the word. And I just read a passage here that he also talks about not just praying for somebody and say, go and be warm and filled. I'll pray that you'd be warm. I pray that you wouldn't be hungry tonight. Certainly we pray for people, and that is a need that they've expressed, but there's also the other part of that. There's that other part that James also talks about, which is faith without works is dead. And so are there any people of faith in the house today? And so we've got to exercise that faith and that concern and that care. And I think that as we are going to continue to explore if there's any ways that we can help, some of the things that they're paying for may be things that we can help with. There might be some electrical work. There might be some yard maintenance. There might be some landscaping. There might be some drywall, some plumbing. There might be some things that instead of just giving an offering, that maybe we have some skilled people in those positions that could show up and we could give of ourselves and feel a personal connection there as well as save them some money. So I want you to keep that in mind too, not just a one-time offering, but I really believe that this is something that is ordained, and as the stories continue to unfold, and then finding out that Ashley was from the west side here and doing some work up here, and she's up here even frequently now reaching for people because she understands the need around here. So here's where we are. I believe that we can help. And I know this church, and so I know that we will help. What I would like for us to do is I would like for us to stand. Does anybody know anybody that you know their first name, that is struggling with any of the things that they had talked about today? Anybody? We have some people that have family members. I was just at an appointment at the academy this Friday, all-day meeting, and the entire chaplain's meeting at the Highway Patrol Academy while I was there, the whole meeting was about mental health. So much of the mental health crisis that is in that we're in right now as a nation, people are either turning to drugs and alcohol, or people that have been into drugs and alcohol or having the mental crisis. So it's a cyclical effect. They're connected there. And so there's a lot of help. And so I spent the entire day in a meeting, and not once did I hear them talk about God as the solution. We talked about counseling. We talked about help centers. We talked about 800 numbers. We talked about training law enforcement to be able to help, to get people help and trying to get them into facilities and trying to get them help. But I'm telling you, if you were to statistically look at the success ratio, I am convinced there's no way you could persuade me otherwise that the only true way to get out, there's a very small percentage that just by sheer guts and willpower, somebody makes their way out. There are those people that are there. But I'm telling you, there has to be a shift in the culture. There has to be a shift in their nature, their very nature, getting out of that flesh nature and having God, being spirit-filled, having God in you to change your absolute appetite. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so there has to be that change, that metamorphosis, not just trying to be a good boy or a good girl, but to actually have that transformation that I think differently because I am different. I am a new creature. I am born again. I don't think the same way. I don't process the same way. I don't have the same appetites. And so if we're going to provide an avenue for them to experience God, we've got to help with some funding. We got to help with some milk and some bread and some electric and some gas bills and some mortgage. And has anybody found out that all that stuff has gone up? Hey, look, I used to shop because it was basically divide and conquer. So with four kids in a shopping cart, you put like two in one cart and two in the other, and there we go through the store. We're going through Aldi's. And so, you know, it's divide and conquer. So I used to shop with my wife. I'm not joking when I said that we used to heap up a grocery cart. I said, I'm an old guy. I'm saying it. I'm having these old guy conversations right now. But back in the day, that's how you know I'm old right there. Back in the day, we would heave up an Aldi's cart for $60. I walked out of Walmart the other day with just some groceries. It was like two little plastic bags, $60. So it takes some money. And I know God has blessed us. And so what I would like for us to do is I would like us to pray for them. And then at the end of this prayer, I'm going to lead us to pray then for us, that He would help us to know what to give to help them. Amen. And then they're going to have a booth. They do have a booth out there, and so I want you to swing by. I want you to grab a couple of cards. I want you to see if the Lord lays on your heart, because, you know, the one-time offerings are good, but the Lord may lay it on your heart, some of you, to give some money monthly. The reason why that's beneficial for them is because that helps them to know how we can budget for this month. Instead of just an offering here and go somewhere else and get another offering, if they have some partners that are with them consistently, at least they have some kind of running money. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for them, we're going to pray for us, and then the ushers can go ahead and make their way up here right now, and they got some envelopes. Now, here's what we're going to do. As soon as I'm done praying, they're going to go out through the crowd here and give everybody an envelope. Whether you do anything with it or not is up to you. Come on up here, Brother Tim. We'll come up here first, and then we'll do that later. And then we're going to have them go out and hand out these envelopes. If you hand it in and it's empty, that's fine. That's between you and Jesus. I just want to have everybody have an opportunity to give something. Everybody say something. Even the lady in the Bible gave 2 pennies. She gave something. And so we should be able to give something to help them out. And then we're going to pray and ask God to put on our hearts what we should give. And then we're going to follow that. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts and our minds today to a need that is going on right in our front yard. This isn't Chicago we're talking about. This isn't New York City. Lord, this isn't Los Angeles, California, God. We're talking about not only Columbus, but we're talking about a large part of this is right here on the west side of Columbus. Lord, our church is right here, inner city. Our church is right here in the middle of it. Lord, within walking distance of this. And so I ask that you touch the covering, Lord, that you give them wisdom, Lord, that you give them strategy, that you give them insight, God, that you give them connections with the right people. Give them contacts with right businesses and the right churches and the right people, Lord, that can give and donate. Maybe there's grants. Maybe there's things, God, that they're wealthy people that want to give their resources to something. Lord, help them to have the right contacts with business owners and people that are electricians and plumbers and decorators and people that have supply stores and areas they can go to get discounts and good prices on good resources. Lord, give them insight, Lord. Give them direction. I pray that grocery stores would partner with them to help with the expenses. God, I pray that you would continue to lead them and guide them with strategy, with leaders, Lord, that you will give them, continue to send leadership and build their leadership team. Give them anointing. Give them favor, God. Give them direction. And now we ask that you touch us right now. Come on, church, lift our voice. Right now that we pray, God, that you will give us a number, Lord. Give us, help us to know what we should give to be able to help and to partner with them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, give us a number, Lord, and we will give that. We will trust you with the number that you give us, that we can be a blessing, God, and we can help them to continue that. Lord, whether it be a one-time offering or you want us to give monthly, Lord, you know, so I ask that you deal with us individually. In Jesus' name we pray.